relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Alexander Hamilton said a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master and deserves one. Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then?
Very simply put, by the man who taught us what peace through strength truly looks like, President Ronald Reagan. That's what we try to do in the White House under the Trump administration, and that is what we will be discussing, amongst many other things today, on America First One-on-One with an individual who impressed me greatly a few weeks ago when I heard him introduced a distinguished dinner guest at the Heritage Foundation. He served himself in the Trump administration as Secretary for Veterans Affairs. Prior to that, Under Secretary of Defense. Now he is Distinguished Fellow at the Davis Center at the Heritage Foundation, Colonel in the U.S. Air Force Reserves, Robert Wilkie. Welcome to One-on-One.
Dr. Gorka, thank you for having me. And may I indulge you for a minute?
Please.
Since you just played The Time to Choose, which was Reagan's eruption on the national stage, I've always felt that the most powerful point in that speech was his story about a Cuban who was rescued from the Florida Straits, and the young Coast Guardsman pulls him up, and he's starving. And he says, "You're very lucky." And the Cuban looks at him, and he said, "Me lucky? At least I had somewhere to escape to."
Yes. You're going straight to the marrow of the issue. Let me just react very briefly, then we'll get to our classic introductions here. This is what has to be understood by all Americans, is that if we lose this shining city on the hill, the great what has been called the greatest experiment in democracy. Yes, I know we're a republic, calm down, but we are still the greatest experiment in democracy. If we lose this, there is nowhere else to run to. When dissidents escape house arrest in China, like the famous blind lawyer, when people build makeshift rafts in Cuba across shark-infested waters, they don't go to Switzerland. They don't go to Iran. They come to America because we remain that shining city on the hill, and there is nowhere else to run. That is why we must protect and preserve everything that that republic represents. Okay, as with all our guests, let's start at the beginning. For those who are not familiar with your service in the Trump administration, your background in multiple uniformed services, rising to Undersecretary of Defense. Tell our millions of listeners and viewers across the nation a little bit about your background, where you came from, and how you got to do what you do.
Well, it's very simple. I am the son, grandson, great-grandson of combat soldiers. I spent my youth at Fort Sill, Fort Bragg, and also, as you know, at the Royal School of Artillery in Larkhill, England. My father was a senior officer in the 82nd Airborne Division when I was in high school. So my calling was to serve the nation in national defense. My military service has been modest compared to that of my ancestors. But I will say that a formative moment in my life was when the hostages were taken in Tehran. Two things. One, outside of Fort Bragg on Bragg Boulevard, a place you know well, a massive billboard went up that said, "Iran, let our people go." And I had to pass that billboard every day on the way to school. And as I got older, I thought that's what we had become under Mr. Carter, a mendicant begging the theocratic fanatics in Tehran to let our soldiers and diplomats go. And then the second experience was in my neighborhood the day the hostage rescue Desert One collapsed. And the MPs closed off our neighborhood. They took the name signs off of our homes, and they surrounded Colonel Charles Beckwith's home. He was the commander on the ground. And President Carter came on that day and said, "This was all my fault. I'm the one responsible." That's quite a contrast to what we had in Afghanistan a few months ago. But to see America humbled in that way, particularly living amongst the most decorated combat soldiers in all the United States, was the eye-opening experience of my life, even more so, I think, than seeing my father recover from terrible wounds from the invasion of Cambodia. Huge man, 6'2", 240, which today is not even a quarterback, but in 1970 it's a big man. And after a year in an Army hospital, he came back weighing about 125, 130 pounds. And the only thing that kept him in the Army was the good graces of a real leader, General Creighton Abrams, who overruled the medical board and said, "No, we're going to give this officer an opportunity to recover," which is why he went to England and served there.
And when you think of the disparity or the geopolitical trend since 79 to today, when America disengages, and you know very well our former boss President Trump is not an interventionist,
right,
but when we withdraw from the world or when we show weakness, that breeds contempt, does it not, and creates a dangerous world for all democracy lovers?
It absolutely does, because the bad guys fill the vacuum. And this is not a new phenomenon. Harry Truman confronted it back in 1946 when he filled the gap that the retreating empire, British Empire, had left open in the Eastern Mediterranean. And he realized that America could not remain passive, that there was a force out there that combined the power of extreme nationalism plus a messianic message that communism was the wave of the future. And he responded with, of course, the Truman Doctrine, that we would support all entities, all forces opposing communism, and then the Marshall Plan that rebuilt Europe and really became the first of many steps in containing the Soviet Union.
Discuss, if you will, for those who aren't familiar with your very intriguing career path, because I'm just looking at your bio. It's not just a colonel in the Air Force Reserves, not just former Secretary of Veterans Affairs, but it lists U.S. Naval Reserve,
yes,
NSC, and the Office of Naval Intelligence. So you've had a rather peripatetic career. Are you a man who just wanted to experience as much as possible?
Much as, just like you.
I know, but that's right. You know, for me, that's normal. For a lot of people, it isn't.
Absolutely. To be able to do as much as possible, to experience as much as possible. I've been blessed. I've worked for some of the most important people in this country, starting with Senator Helms, who I think most people would agree after Ronald Reagan was the most important conservative leader of the 70s and 80s. He brought me here, and then to work for Senator Lott, Dr. Rice, Steve Hadley, Gates, Rumsfeld. Learned a lot from them, and just been very fortunate in my career path, and so grateful to President Trump for first bringing me to the Pentagon, and then out of the blue, asking me to go to Veterans Affairs.
Was that a hard decision to step once more into the arena at such a high level?
It's not a hard decision when the President of the United States asks you. You always say yes.
Yeah.
And you have many instances in American history. I guess the most famous being General Marshall, who wanted to retire.
Yeah.
But Harry Truman wouldn't let him and made him Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense after that. So when President Trump asked me, he said, "I have a vision for reform of Veterans Affairs." It had been the dysfunctional family picnic under Obama Biden. It had a
For far too long. Too long.
Yeah. And we inherited an organization that had people dying in the hallways. The approval rating, according to CNN, not us, was 37%. When we left, the approval rating was 91% for veterans' health. And we were able to send millions and millions of veterans into the private sector. One of the imperatives for President Trump was to make sure that we applied free market principles to a government agency, and that meant choice, to make veterans the center of their health care, not the institution. And I am sad to say that I think that this administration is going back on that. Everything I hear, they are discouraging veterans from going into the private sector. And we see that cycle from Obama Biden beginning to play again.
Well, thank you for saying yes, and thank you for taking on a task that would have daunted lesser men. We're talking to the former Secretary of Veterans Affairs, a colonel in the U.S. Air Force Reserves, Robert Wilkie, Distinguished Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Join the conservative mothership today. That's heritage.org, the organization fighting for the principles upon which our nation was founded. More One-on-One with Robert Wilkie. Stay with us here on America First. We are coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that's real, pain relief that works, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included, but not just me, people like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. Shouldn't that be your story? It could be your story, but there's only one way to find out. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What are you waiting for? You deserve to know. You know it makes sense. Liberate yourself. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. You can now watch America First on TV, and I urge you to check us out. Go to salemnews.com or download the app today. You can also watch us on Roku and Fire Stick. That's Salem News Channel, the antidote to the lying legacy media. Welcome back to One-on-One with former Secretary of Veteran Affairs of the Trump administration, Colonel Robert Wilkie. Let me quote to you somebody who I deem to be one of the few living strategists today. I think there's maybe 6 or 7 men who deserve the name of strategists. VDH is one of them, Martin von Krefeld, and then Ed Luttwak.
Yes.
Ed Luttwak came to where I was teaching, National Defense University at Fort McNair, when I was a DOD civilian, a professor there. And he was introducing his new book on the strategy of the Byzantine Empire. Fascinating, because it's an empire that should have lasted about 3 weeks and lasted 800 years. So there was something interesting about their sense of grand strategy.
And that was his addendum to the grand strategy of the Roman Empire.
Yes, exactly, which came out before that. And fabulous, iconoclastic presentation, as is Ed's usual performance. And I got to ask the first question, the Q&A. And I say this as an American who thinks America is the greatest nation on God's earth. And I said, what do you say, Professor Luttwak, to those who say that America is really astrategic? It really does not function and act strategically and hasn't done so since about Reagan and the end of the war. Classic Ed Luttwak response in front of this audience, National War College's beautiful building, said, well, what is the point of being what is the point of being a superpower if you can't be stupid? So is there not some great irony? Yeah. To the bigger and stronger we are, we seem to make worse and worse. I mean, we look at the last 20 years in Afghanistan. Right. We look at Iraq. We look at this idea that we had administrations that denied the relevance of religion when trying to understand a group that saw themselves as jihadis. We look at very small nations, not powerful nations, like Israel or Switzerland, which don't have the luxury of making mistakes, because otherwise they disappear. So are we caught in a paradox that we have so much capacity, we don't think right?
Well, we fall back on what Bismarck said about the United States of America after he was dismissed by God protects fools, drunkards in the United States of America.
Right.
God protects fools, drunkards in the United States of America.
Right.
We have had so much power that other than Nixon and Reagan, at the presidential level in the post-World War II world, we really haven't had anyone who can look at a map and say, this is the moves, these are the moves we have to make on the chessboard.
Yeah.
We've had the luxury of having a rather sclerotic opponent. We've had so much wealth and so much power that we could have a haphazard approach to the world, otherwise known as Obama's don't do stupid stuff.
Yeah, right.
But now we are faced with, I would argue, the most formidable power that this country has ever faced, and more formidable than Nazi Germany, and more formidable than the Soviet Union. A country with, again, a messianic view of where it needs to be in the world. It is very open about desiring to destroy this nation. All you have to do is look at the daily ruminations of the People's Liberation Daily. Whereas our press secretary at the White House says we're in a competition, the People's Liberation Daily says we're at war.
Yeah.
And the difference between this power and the Soviet power is that there's an economic component to this that the Soviets never possessed, and an ability of the regime in Beijing to buy people off in the way that the Soviets never did, and to confront us on multiple flanks. The Soviets in the 70s were rampaging through Africa with their Cuban proxies, but they were also watching the Middle East slip from their grasp. The Chinese are on the offensive in Central America, in South America, in Africa, and certainly within the confines of the Asian littoral. And they are probing. And right now, we certainly don't have a response, a cohesive worldview, and it's not complicated. Thomas Jefferson laid the ground when he sent the entire United States Navy to the Mediterranean to knock off the Barbary pirates. America is for a liberal world order, little l, and in order to preserve that order, we preserve the global commons. And right now, the most important of the global commons goes right through the Pacific.
If you're not familiar with that story and why the shores of Tripoli are part of the Marine Corps anthem, it's one of the case studies in my second book, Why We Fight, Defeating America's Enemies with No Apologies. There's a reason that Stephen Courtois was made the youngest naval captain in U.S. history, actually by Thomas Jefferson, because of that incredible operation with, I consider it the first special operations mission of the U.S. Marine Corps to recapture our ships from the Barbary pirates. You can get that at our store, sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com. You say this shocking statement, which I concur with since my time in the White House, that China is more dangerous than prior peer competitors and enemies we have faced. Is a part of that they're really good at strategy? Having spent 5.5 years in the DoD teaching, then 2.5 years at Quantico with the Marines, I see a lack of historic context or understanding, and I see a paucity of you could study, when I was a professor, lots of courses on Kosovo and peacekeeping and even Thucydides, but there was nary a course on Iranian strategy, right, or Chinese strategy. Why do they have that greater sense? Is it simply because they're a dictatorship, or simply because of the age of their civilization?
And Nixon said it. He said, when trying to divine and lead American foreign policy, he said his biggest handicap was that Americans tend to think in terms of 5 years, that the Chinese think in terms of thousands of years. And that really is the great difference. And I wanted to read. We've been here before, and you have on your shelf the memoirs of America's greatest diplomat, George Kennan. And in on February 22nd, 1946, he raised the alarm. He warned America that the World War II blinkers had to come off, that we were facing a threat unlike any other up to that time. And he said that we have here a political force committed fanatically to the belief that with the United States there can be no permanent modus vivendi, that it is desirable and necessary that the internal harmony of our society be disrupted, our traditional way of life be destroyed, and the international authority of our state be broken if Soviet power is to be secure.
Yeah.
That led to 50 years of containment of Soviet power. If you substitute China for that, it's the same argument. We have incredible levers of power. Before we use them, we have to create a picture of what it is we need to do. And that is to go back to Jefferson. We protect the global commons, and that means now not just the sea lanes around Taiwan or Korea or Japan or Vietnam. That means cyber.
Yes.
And space.
Cyber and space, yeah, in all dimensions. I'm so glad you mentioned George Kennan. It's as if we're having a Vulcan mind meld. I'll give you my take on how that applies today. Stay with us for more One-on-One with former Secretary of Veteran Affairs, Robert Wilkie. All of you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have giant box stores or any shopping channels. They've been instead targeted by cancel culture, but now they want to pass on big savings directly to you. Get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with my promo code. They also have queen-size pillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with promo code G-O-R-K-A, or king-size pillows, usually $89.98, now only $29.98 with my promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to actual beds. Promo code G-O-R-K-A also works at mystore.com and frankspeech.com. Call today, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
Welcome back to One-on-One with Secretary of Veteran Affairs in the Trump administration, Robert Wilkie. Robert, let me turn to this long telegram from Kennan that you mentioned that became the sources of Soviet conduct by, you know, the anonymous Mr. X that eventually drove our Cold War strategy. We have a need, I think, for iconoclasts, because Kennan wasn't your run-of-the-mill diplomat. This is an individual who'd studied Russia, Tsarist Russia, then Communist Russia. His boss, Avril Harriman, was away on holiday on the Christmas break. The requests comes from, I think it was actually the Treasury. The Treasury cabled him in Moscow, cabled the embassy and said, what's going on with Uncle Joe? We don't understand him. He was our ally. And then Kennan sees this moment. He grabs the opportunity, sits down, writes that 14-page classified telegram, which, I'm sorry, most diplomats would be afraid to do that in the standard structure. How much do we need what VDH, Victor Davis Hanson, has called the Ajaxes, the iconoclasts, the marshals, the Pattons, who the system and the bureaucracy detests, but when the threat is existential, these are the people who save civilization. Isn't that always the case?
Well, that's right. And sadly, and I'll speak to the Pentagon today, we don't have that. We have politicized the senior officer corps to such an extent.
Yeah.
You have been a herald on this, and you're one of my favorite stories from your experience in teaching future generals at the National War College about strategy and America's place in the world. And when you gave them a problem, 90% of them came back with climate change as the answer to the greatest threat.
Yeah, the number one threat.
The number one threat. So that is our greatest problem, certainly in the military.
Now, you've served in uniform, you've served out of uniform, you've served at a cabinet level. Given your experience over decades, I have to ask you, because I'm an illegal immigrant. I only moved here 13 years ago. When did the rot set in? That story I told you was 05s, 06s who were working in the Obama administration. Is it older than that? Can you see a point at which the politicization of the officer, the flag officer corps?
Right. Well, let's go back in history, and I'll give my father as an example. Incredibly decorated combat soldier. He could have an entire career on the central street at Fort Bragg, on Ardennes Street.
Right.
Change the beret. Changed the assignment. In those days, the ethos among the officer corps was, we do everything we can to stay away from Washington.
Right.
We don't want to pour martinis at the White House.
Right. Or go to diplomatic functions.
We want to be with troops. When the Soviet Union was the threat, that was the ethos. I really think the rot started to set in with Clinton and the use of the armed forces as a prop, the use of senior officers to promote a political agenda. And let's take a look at the history of the United States Armed Forces and the two most prominent military leaders of World War II, Dwight Eisenhower and George Marshall. They never voted. No one knew what their political views were. Until Eisenhower tells the world after he's the president of Columbia University, I'm going to run as a Republican. They did everything they could to stay away from it.
Yeah.
And now it is viewed as a ticket of advancement. And I know many of these people, and I'm not going to cast any personal aspersions, but when you have the leadership of the armed forces talking about climate change and white supremacy.
Yeah, white rage, Mark Milley's white rage.
Then we have crossed a river that we should never have crossed. And the sad thing about that is that these folks don't even know what makes the American military special. And I'll give you a Colin Powell story, of all people, because you know this from your British citizenship. Colin Powell once said that when his parents left Jamaica, if that ship had taken a right turn at New York City and gone to Southampton, the best he could have ever hoped for would have to have been a regimental sergeant major.
Correct.
But it took a left turn, and he rose through the ranks in this land of opportunity. The military is the great leveler in our society. It doesn't matter what you look like or where you came from. If you perform, just like professional athletics, you are accepted. And this particular leadership coming out of this White House has denied that very central fact of American military life. And on top of the political pressures put on the senior leaders, this is a combustible mix that I'm sure they are laughing at Beijing and Tehran right now.
Yeah, they're laughing into their strategic coffee cups right now when they look at what's coming out of the White House and this NSC. Do you do everything that you could do to ensure that you're healthy for your loved ones? Is your wife, your mother, your father, your children, your grandchildren, are they concerned that you're not the healthiest you could be? There are so many reasons to take Balance of Nature, but that's one of the reasons that I'm serious about it, because I'm serious about my personal responsibility for my health. You know you need to eat vegetables, you know you need to eat fruit, but very rarely do we eat enough. These six little capsules, three red for fruit, three green for vegetables, provide me with everything my body craves. 10 servings of 31 different fruits and fibers. Get serious, do it for your loved ones, and right now, Dr. Douglas Howe, the inventor, will give you 35% off and free shipping on your first order. Use my name, GORKA. Call 800-246-8751 or balanceofnature.com, promo code GORKA.
Yeah.
From the ReliefFactor.com studios, this is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
He cleaned up the Veteran Affairs Administration. Welcome back to One-on-One with Secretary Robert Wilkie. Let's talk about what you did, Robert, in the administration, the Veterans Administration. How much of, I can talk about this till the cows come home, but how much of what you were able to do at the Veterans Administration was a function of what I call President Trump's utter disrespect for sacred cows? The quickest way to anger the president was when he asked somebody, even I saw this with, you know, four-star generals. He said, why are we doing X?
Right.
And the response would be, well, that's how we've been doing it for 20
right.
years.
Right.
That was not a good answer in front of President Trump. So we had been told that the VA is unfixable. These are government employees, unfixable. It's not true, is it, Robert?
No, it's not true. And let me give the credit to the president. He laid out the strategic vision, fix it, make veterans the centerpiece of the institution, not the institution as the centerpiece. And he gave me everything that I wanted. And we had to break a lot of glass, that people thought sacrosanct. If we had listened to the professional class in this town, and they opposed all of our reforms, or they were silent, we would have been right where Obama Biden was. And what struck me is that in this town, the American soldier, particularly by the left, is portrayed as a victim and someone worthy of pity, instead of an American who'd worn the uniform when it was not mandatory, volunteer
yes.
for the most part. You know, that Vietnam generation sadly is getting smaller every day. That was the last of the conscript military. And proceeded from there that the function of VA was not what General Omar Bradley, the most famous leader of VA, said, which was to make a veteran whole and return him to civilian life as if he had not been in the service.
Mm.
It was to create an environment where the most important things were checks coming from the government and a system that did not reward those who had been wounded in combat. I'll give you an example, a friend of yours. Dan Crenshaw.
Yeah.
He lost an eye, and he's lost almost about half of the use of his good eye. Under the VA construct, that's a 30% disability rating, whereas someone who's been out of the military a long time and has sleep apnea, that's a 50% disability rating.
What?
And that's something that's correctable. I mean, you could treat
yeah,
that.
Right.
And when I issued a directive with the president's full support, that if you have a Purple Heart, and this was the easiest way to discern people's status
right.
within the military,
right.
when they go to the top of the line, the first in line, the howls.
So that was something that you started?
Right.
And people objected to Purple Heart holders?
The professional classes.
Right.
Because the line was all veterans are equal. Now, I'm not equal to my father. My father had a chest full of medals. I'm a staff officer. My service is modest. But the original purpose, as laid out by President Lincoln in his second inaugural, was to make sure that we return veterans to society
yes.
as whole as possible. And the other thing that we did was that we put people in charge who had vast military experience, people who understood the culture and the language, and we were able to get around the entrenched
bureaucratic roadblocks.
Right.
So I have to ask you, because I believe in any organization that is decrepit, misfunctioning, or what have you, it is the first few hours and days that matter.
Right.
Can you give us an anecdote or tell us what was the indicator? How did you tell people, new boss, new president, new secretary, what we're doing is no longer acceptable?
Well, it was very much a Reagan-esque approach that Trump knew instinctively. As someone who sits at the pinnacle of power, if you are involved in the day-to-day business of handing out very particular and complicated missives, you have lost the ghost.
The general should never be tactical.
Absolutely. Yeah. My job was to create strategic guidance and give people the opportunity at all levels to carry out that vision. And I'll tell you the other thing that we did. We implemented a program that in your library, you have the biography of one of America's greatest airmen, Curtis LeMay. Curtis LeMay inherits Strategic Air Command, and he says, okay, let's kick the tires. I have 1,200 planes. We're going to sortie to 7 fictional targets in Canada. Of those 1,200 planes, only 100 got off the ground, and only 7 reached the target. This is in 1946. And a lot of people lost their jobs because of that. But once they did, LeMay set out a course, here's what we do. And we do this by involving everyone in the decision-making process. So what does that mean? Let's take a B-52 squadron at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. They meet on Tuesday. You've got the squadron commander, the XO, the engineer, the senior pilot, the logisticians, the intelligence guys. And they go over what went on Monday. Not necessarily what went right, but what didn't go right. And people have an input in that. We implemented what we called a just culture. So everyone from the custodial staff up to the surgical staff was meeting every day to determine how do we do this better. But the other hammer, the hammer that Trump gave me, was I could dismiss people.
I'm going to have to ask you that because the details of that, because that's what the mainstream media has told us is impossible with government employees. They don't need unions, but they're just carved in stone. But first, if you enjoy our one-on-ones here, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free. Just look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. And on top of that, the video channel, not YouTube, the fascistic, censorious YouTube. We are with Rumble, rumble.com/Seb Gorka. We live stream the show every single day. All of our interviews, all of our key segments and monologues, the best callers even, are up on that channel. So rumble.com/SEBGORKA. And of course, we're everywhere else. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, you name it. This is one-on-one with our special guest, former Secretary of the Veterans Affairs, Robert Wilkie.
The most awesome pipes in talk radio. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to One-on-One with Secretary Colonel Robert Wilkie.
The centerpiece has to be, I think, the starting point, not just the centerpiece. It's the unique position of the United States in the world. That we represent a continuum that goes back to what the great conservative mind Russell Kirk said. 4 great capitals, Jerusalem, Athens, Rome, and London.
Wow.
Those places and those people who gave us the ultimate expression of freedom, which is what we have in the United States today. And I don't think we understand our place in that continuum. People like Dwight Eisenhower did. They certainly understood the unique nature of this. And I would also add, Dr. Gorka, I think we need to allow people, as Eisenhower was permitted to do, to study longer.
Yes.
Not just the perfunctory check the box, mm-hmm. but make it more rigorous. I've graduated from the Army War College and Naval Special Warfare Intelligence course and Air and Staff College. We need to redirect. But the most important thing is reducing the amount of staff here in D.C., getting these people back out to the troops, and that'll be a good start.
How long will it take?
It's going to take, well, it depends on the leadership.
If you have the requisite leadership.
Oh, I think you could start turning this ship around just as we did at VA almost immediately.
Fabulous. All right. You are clearly an exceptionally well-read individual. I'd like to leave our listeners with one question. If they have listening to us, listening to you, been bitten by the bug of grand strategy. I've mentioned a few people. You've mentioned a few, such as Russell Kirk. I've mentioned Lutwak. I'm a big fan of Victor Davis Hanson, Colin Gray. Who do you recommend as a good starting point? If you're getting into this stuff, if you've bitten the grand strategy bug has bitten you, where should you begin?
Well, I'm going to go in a different direction, because I mentioned grounding oneself in the continuum of Western civilization.
Yes.
You've mentioned all the great, the only ones you haven't mentioned are Sir Julian Corbett and Halford Mackinder, who really set the stage for Britain's transfer to America of the mantle of global leadership. But the history of the English-speaking people.
By Churchill's.
But not just that one, but also our friend Andrew Roberts' addendum to that.
So you're a fan of his?
Yes.
Yes.
We actually spoke last week, and I've quoted it several times in my analysis of what damage President Biden has done to the U.S.-UK relationship.
Larry Arm, as his official historian?
Yes, right. That's right. And I think that is the most important thing. Before you get to grand strategy,
you've got to understand the civilization.
You have to do it. You have to.
God bless. Well, I could go on for hours. I better stop now, because there's another show that has to take the airwaves instead of this one. But it's been a distinct pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Secretary
Wilkie.
God bless. And you. This has been One-on-One on America First with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.